Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 118. I'm Michelle Hawk, and I'm here with my dear shaman sister, Catherine Bird. And we are so excited and inspired today to jump into judgment on the spiritual path. There's a lot of different nuances here, judgment of self, judgment of others, being on the receiving end of judgment. And we're going to talk about the healthy and unhealthy ways that we can interact with judgment in order to support our highest integrity as spiritual practitioners and magical seekers, and how judgment is actually a really good thing when we're doing this work, even though it gets a totally bad rap. So, yay, we're here. Kat, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm kind of tired, but I think today's a beautiful day, and this is a great conversation I've been looking forward to have with you.
Awesome. Likewise. I feel like I'm like a couple notches like higher energy than you are right now, because I've already like been outside and walked the dog and had breakfast and like, you know, cleaned the house a little bit. So yeah.
Okay. I overslept. I was sick, and I'm traveling and not sleeping. And so today was like, I just accidentally slept in really late. So it was great.
Good for you. Awesome. Well, we're here to just have a very like relaxed conversation, and I'm all jazzed and everything's fine. Yay. We're not judging ourselves.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a very common thing to be judging ourselves, isn't it? And so, I mean, let's talk about just like what we're talking about as far as like what judgment is, and the fact that in a spiritual conscious community, all of this judgment, being judgmental, is seen oftentimes as something very bad, that you do not want to be judgmental. You should not judge people. You should not be judgmental. It's seen as something bad. And we're here saying, no, actually, it's not all bad.
Yeah. Well, so let's look at like, when is judgment quote bad, right? Like, or when is judgment harmful, right? And I think judgment is, it can be harmful, and the way that people construe it as being a bad thing, and the way that, or why people talk about being non-judgmental, is when judgment is used in service to hierarchy or power over dynamics. And so, you know, when I say that, I mean like, okay, judging ourselves, making, you know, and judgment as a tool for shame, right? Shaming ourselves or others, or judgment as a tool of creating superiority or inferiority from the power over perspective. I think that's when we see judgment is bad and like, don't judge other people. We're essentially, if we just take out the word judgment, we're saying we don't want to shame ourselves or other people, and we don't want to create unhealthy power over dynamics between ourselves and other people, really. So like, let's just take the word judgment out of it, because again, in the context of this podcast episode, we, and in general, both me and Kat, like, we love judgment. It's a really helpful and necessary tool. So if we're taking the tool out of it, no, of course we don't want to shame ourselves or other people, and we don't want to perpetuate these unhealthy power structures. Mm-hmm. Great.
Right. And you know, we don't want to make assumptions, right? Like, that's often where that piece is. It's like, well, we're making an assumption about someone else. We're making an assumption about the way that they're going to be, or the way they're going to show up based on what they look like or their background or anything that we could be making an assumption about.
Based on our internal experience and projection.
Yeah. So we're projecting things onto other people, and we don't necessarily need to be projecting a bunch of our stuff onto other people, or carrying, you know, our past baggage into new experiences. That could be harmful. And as we're just starting to have this conversation, I'm just remembering that as I was recording the How to Channel webinar, one of the words that comes up a lot is judgment. And addressing your judgment. And so it's important to address your judgment and judgmentalness, and to unpack it and to look at it. And that we're definitely not sitting here saying you should just not look at your own judgments, and that your judgments of self and others can't hold you back, because they certainly can. And especially with something like these spiritual practices, like channeling and connecting, we sort of have judgments about things. We see things as being good or bad, or scary, or we see ourselves as a certain kind of person, or we see other people as certain kinds of people, and that might hold us back from exploring something that's really potent and powerful for us, or something that could be really joyful and we could get a lot out of, because we've already made a judgment about ourselves or about the experience before it's happened.
So let's add that in there as judgment as a barrier to curiosity and compassion. So judgment is unhelpful when it's a tool used in shaming ourselves or others, creating power over structures and unintegrous dynamics, barrier to curiosity and compassion. And then there was one other piece in there that just like flew out of my mind. The projection piece, right? Mm-hmm. If judgment mm-hmm. is like interfering with our ability to be open and receptive and perceiving the truth about ourselves and other people.
Right. And, you know, we can use it to shut people down, to keep them from expressing their truth, or, you know, just like it's a really easy tool to throw out there and to keep other people from being expressed. Yeah. So, but we also like, we want to talk about judgment in other ways and how we see that, maybe it can be a helpful tool in our lives. And, the definition of judgment actually is the ability to make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions. Yeah. So with that, there is what's happening there. There's a thoughtfulness process. It's a part of that experience. And it's not just jumping to conclusions, which is usually what we see as judgmental. We see like, oh, you're making an assumption, you're jumping to conclusions, you're being judgmental of this person before you give them a chance. But that's not really the definition of this word that we're using. It really is about being considered and considering and taking some time to be present with all of the things that are going on in a situation and making a decision from an informed, considered space.
Yeah. There's, I want to like break down the anatomy of judgment a little bit, because there's a few pieces that you're talking about within that definition. I'm also going to add in the word assessment, right? So, which is kind of in the same family as consideration, right? But when we're making a judgment, right, let's consider, okay, we have an input of information, whether it's, you know, in regards to another person, whether it's about ourselves or a situation, right? Like there's an input of information. And then there's a thoughtfulness period, right? Where, and again, this can happen very, very quickly, right? But we're looking at like, well, what are the different pieces around judgment? So there is some thoughtfulness and consideration and assessment. There's an evaluative process where we're considering what is, you know, are there safety considerations? Is there, you know, running it past our past experience, running it against our own values and ethics, running it against our own inner programming, right? So there's a lot involved in that thoughtfulness consideration. And then there is a decision and determination that is come to, and then often followed by some sort of action step moving forward. That's like the anatomy of a judgment.
I love that you like how your brain works that way. You. You're like, I'm going to break down this process for you right now.
But it's like, it's cool to think about it that way, right? Like,
right. Yeah. And it can happen quickly. It can happen over time. Yeah. You know, you get more information over time, often is what happens, is you sort of have a limited amount of information, you go with that. And then over time, you're like, oh, actually, some stuff's happening here.
Right. And that process can happen in like a fraction of a second, right? Or it can happen over a prolonged period of time. But that is, it's going to be the same no matter what. Input of information, consideration, decision, action. Just, you know, that's what we're doing when we're going through a judgment process. And none of those things are bad, right? Like all of those things are actually really great. It's like, okay, we're responding to some sort of input, ideally in a healthy, thoughtful, considered, evaluative assessment way. And that piece, that like consideration portion, I think is where we get into a lot of trouble and where the bad rap comes from. right? And so I think a lot of our, you know, when we're talking about judgment, we're going to be talking about, well, how judgment is actually a really good thing, right? We like that considered period. We like that assessment because that's when we have the opportunity to be reflecting upon our own ethics and integrity, right? Like mm-hmm. judgment and integrity ideally go hand in hand. They're best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that where we can, you know, where it gets tricky there in that assessment period is that we can in that assessment moment be triggered, right? We're in our own trigger, we're in our own trauma, we're relating to this experience based on something that has been harmful to us, or, you know, something that is, we're emotionally in an intense moment. But if you think of it that way, when we're really in trauma, we're really in trigger, we're highly emotional, we're not in consider, and we're not in high consideration. We're in the reactive, you know, nature of our nervous system responding, you know, our, you know, perhaps even our areas of our brain that are able to interact with what being in consideration is, aren't even firing. So, I think that's where we get that, oh, you're being judgmental, right? You're jumping to a harsh conclusion based on some emotional reaction that you're having.
Yeah. So then we look at, and yeah, the projection piece, right? Trigger, like all of the unhelpful ways that the reasons why judgment gets a bad rap. Yeah. So then we can look at like, okay, well, the, you know, the cure for this quote, the remedy is to, you know, regulate the nervous system, right? And heal our trauma, right? And of course, you know, that's sort of like the answer to everything, right? but in this case, you know, what it enables us to do is to discern. And again, we're using a lot of these words, like, you know, because they're in the same family, right? Judgment and discernment, integrity as companion of judgment, assessment, consideration, right? Like these are all part of this little group of terms in this particular vocabulary. When we have a regulated enough nervous system, or even if we have that initial trigger, if we can catch ourselves and recognize, okay, I'm feeling triggered right now, take a pause, step back, and then drop into the assessment evaluative consideration, right? Like it doesn't, you know, we don't have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we must be completely healed in all of our trauma forever and ever in order to have good judgment or to be discerning. It just means we need to be able to catch ourselves so that the decision that we're making is not based on the trigger, right? And so don't worry. We're Kat nor I are completely healed of all trauma and triggered. And anxiety,
right? No, totally. No.
And so, you know, we're not saying this from a perspective of like, we figured it out, bitches. No, it's a, like, we're in practice and noticing like, okay, there's a trigger. That's not what I'm going to base my decision on. I'm going to pause. I'm going to take a beat. I'm going to drop down, regulate myself enough so that I can evaluate the information in a healthy way that's in alignment with my discernment and integrity. And then base the decision on that. So that does take just, you know, enough awareness to be able to identify in yourself where that response is coming from and whether it's like true responding or reacting. So that's one of the pieces to using judgment as a healthy tool.
Yeah. The nervous system. And I can notice for myself that if I'm being exposed to information that I'm considering and that information feels really out of integrity and unethical, harmful, that my reaction to that I can get, you know, really angry. I can get really like, you know, passionately, you know, like really, I can get really passionate about that. And that's not necessarily either like a horrible thing, right? Like I'm really looking at, okay, that's making me angry. Why is that making me angry? Oh, because it's harming people, because it's harming the planet, because it's out of integrity, because it's not in alignment with, you know, the values that I'm holding. And sometimes it takes some time and space to be with that and be with that anger in a way that gives it enough room to not become reactive when trying to deal with whatever that situation is. And for me, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I need a few days on that one. Like, I can't have, like, to be able to find the compassion and understanding, like, if it's a really intense experience, sometimes I need a few days to know that I'm going to be able to have a healthy conversation about something without becoming overly passionate about what it is that's coming up. And that's okay too, to take that space and to give yourself space for that, I think, you know, yeah, like, to know yourself that well. And I'm like, I'm super passionate about stuff, and some things, like, you know, in that space, I might need some time around it so that I can really be with the stuff that's underneath it. And
yeah, that's super healthy. That's really a great awareness to have. And then, you know, I would say on the flip side, I've noticed about myself, I tend to, not all the time, but sometimes, like, if there's a big input of information, sometimes I have the emotional response later. Like, I'll deal with it in the moment from the sort of, like, logic brain piece around judgment and discernment, which is usually pretty good, but it's almost this, like, betrayal of self around my process. As long as I, like, don't, you know, if I go in and clean it up later, that's totally fine. But it's an interesting dance to note, right? Of, like, in terms of being in integrity to our own, like, holistic experience of the process. And, you know, sometimes actually, like, I'll just talk a little bit about the trajectory in terms of, like, how we relate to the whole healing the nervous system thing and how that impacts our judgment, right? I had an interesting experience the other day where I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, who ended up sharing something. This is, like, years ago that this happened, that I didn't have all the information of what was happening at the moment, but it had felt off to me. Like, there was something that was, it turns out, a deep betrayal of trust that this person had enacted in my experience with this friend. And I just didn't know at the time. And so again, this is years ago, no lasting harm caused, no ill effects, but it does have implications for moving forward in how we're relating and the agreements that we have within our friendship. And I was able to hear that and hear the, the acknowledgement and the confession, if you will. And I did not have an emotional response in the moment because, you know, I was able to be with my compassion and my awareness of the experience that I had at the time and the experience that I have now within this friendship. And to feel very clear about stating, need for further conversation and boundaries and agreement moving forward. And then to consider afterwards, like, how proud of myself I was that I didn't, go into what I know would have been triggers in the past for me around this experience. So I had this really beautiful, like, input of information that was troubling, and able to be present with it in a compassionate way and have this evaluative process to reach a decision about how I both felt about that experience at the time and how I'm moving forward in this friendship, and then to state an action step and then go on with my day. And so, you know, just knowing that, like, if I had learned that a couple of years ago, like, or a few years ago at the time, whenever it was, I probably would have had a really different reaction, and I would have probably been in a very different space around my judgment, both of myself for either not knowing what was happening, of my friend for that situation, and then having a lot of projection and, like, weird tumultuous experience around it. So, you know, it does, like, having that awareness and the nervous system regulation does have, it really works, right? It does help us to have the healthy judgment and then to move forward in a way that's really beautiful and compassionate. Mm-hmm. So whether we're taking the space in the moment or after the fact.
Yeah. And so, you know, you can tune into some of our other episodes and stuff. And, you know, we can talk about the nervous system more and talk about things like somatic body work, doing movement practices, Qigong, you know, really working with the nervous system, breath work, different things are helping us to release old trauma and to learn how to regulate our nervous system. And this is an important part of our healing process. So we're just like, let's just, you know, really quickly throw that in there. And, you know, there's so much education, information and education out now about regulation of the nervous system and this being an important part of how we heal. So just know it gets easier is what you're saying.
it gets easier. And then I also want to talk because, like, you know, the whole reason we're recording this episode is because you had an experience recently around using judgment in a healthy way in regards to, and you started to speak to this a little bit, but I'm wondering if you can flesh it out a little bit of judgment on the spiritual path, particularly in regards to our community of other practitioners and people that we're working with, right? Because this is a huge issue as, you know, more and more people are coming into the field as we're working within a largely unregulated industry, and we're working with these very esoteric, you know, etheric concepts and practices. Like, judgment is more important than ever. So Kat, let's hear it.
Well, there's a lot of layers of this. And so of all of the years that I've been in, you know, like, we can use air quotes of the conscious community or spiritual community, you know, all of these communities of healing, and just seeing a lot of harm, number one. Seeing a lot of harm of people trusting people that have hurt them, number one. And that how often that the spiritual concepts that we're learning, we are all one, don't be judgmental. This is another one, right? That, oh, you should see the best in people. You should have more compassion. You should trust more. You should, you know, surrender, you know, like all of these things can come up in context of a relationship with any person or group that you're involved with in the spiritual community, or in context of something that's going on in, say, a healing session or a ceremony or something like this, where you're actually in interaction with others. And so these spiritual concepts and understandings can be used to bypass your judgment, to get you to say yes to things that, with consideration, you probably should have said no to, or to make excuses for bad behavior, or for, you know, people who are lacking integrity and ethics, who are behaving poorly, but you're supposed to accept that and forgive them and have compassion for them and, you know, see them as different than they are even. And that these, you know, there are people in our community that are actively, either consciously or unconsciously, utilizing these concepts to manipulate and harm people. And
can I throw a word in there?
Yeah.
It's like weaponizing unity consciousness and spiritual concepts.
Yeah.
For the purpose of manipulation, exploitation, and subverting your own discernment around boundaries, right? Like, you know, there's so many examples of this where, like you said, sometimes it's on purpose, sometimes it's conscious or subconscious, but there is a lot of this feeding of the unhealthy aspects around, like, oh, but you're supposed to see my heart, or you're, don't you feel my good intentions, right?
Right. Don't you trust me? Like, yeah. Oh, if you're not trusting me, that means that you're not a trusting person, which means you haven't healed yourself of whatever wounds are causing you to be not trusting.
Yeah.
Right. So it's turning these things on us in order to make us question our own judgments, to, you know, and I've seen this with myself, where I've had experiences with people and been like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel good. There's something about this that I'm feeling that isn't right. But then being told by other people like, no, this is fine. Or, you know, like this person is this person. Why wouldn't you, you know, why can't you see this person for who they are? Like maybe you're jealous of them. Maybe you're, you know, your shit is coming up in some kind of way. And then, you know, months or sometimes years down the road, you're like, oh, that's what that was about. That's what that, you know, felt sense was about. And, I believe that as we heal, as we grow, as we evolve, that felt sense of that intuitive knowingness, that we hopefully honor that more and more. And sometimes we can't explain what's behind it yet, because we can get into trusting people in this work in a way that is not healthy for us. You know, we see people get involved in spiritual communities that drain their energy, that, you know, expect way too much from them financially, you know, physically showing up, you know, contributing in a way that's not helpful for them. We see, you know, in these like cult dynamics and getting involved with a cult of personality where one person is sort of dictating what everybody else is doing. And individually, you know, getting involved with trusting practitioners that shouldn't have been trusted, and then that harm moving throughout life and seeing harm enacted sometimes for years. It takes people to recover from an abusive situation with a practitioner.
Yeah. We do have an episode on that. I think it's called Predators in the Spiritual Community, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Because yeah, you kind of go into like narcissists and sociopaths and like all of these things that are there. And what we're saying is like those people can use, you know, don't be judgmental as a weapon against your being considered.
Right. Yeah. Gaslighting is absolutely a thing within the spiritual community. Right. And again, I want to throw this term in there, like weaponizing spiritual concepts for the purpose of manipulation and subverting your protection mechanisms, right? Because judgment and discernment, it's a safety mechanism. And, you know, you and your sovereignty and your agency as an empowered being, you're allowed to have boundaries. You're allowed to say, this doesn't feel right, or this doesn't feel safe, and not be wrong or bad for that. And any practitioner who is aware of, you know, trauma dynamics, who's trauma informed about, you know, different aspects of trauma, right? And that's a very big umbrella, who is comfortable and secure in their own self and their own identity, their own ability to be present with a client who's, or anyone who's going through these internal processes, is not going to take it personally if you're setting boundaries or saying, I need a minute, or I'm having objections about this, you know, XYZ, right? And so there are, you know, please keep that in mind of if someone is trying to pressure you into making a decision for whatever reason, whether it's like, oh, we need to, you know, are you in and out or in or out? Here's a sale offer that expires in at the end of the phone call, right? So that's, you know, there's one pressure piece around like sales or trying to get you into an experience. Pressure piece around once you're within the container of care, of expressing a boundary within a session or maybe going back on a boundary that you had previously set, right? Saying, actually, I changed my mind. I'm not okay with this. Right? Anyone who's trying to hold you to an original boundary that you've since changed, or original agreement that you've since changed and had a boundary around, that's not okay either. Right? Or being within the context of a ceremony and introducing new information or new dynamics that weren't present at the original context of agreement, right? Like, you know, if you're in medicine space and you had a certain agreement and considerations at the beginning of a ceremony or a session or medicine space, and then, oh, but we're following the thread of divine inspiration, we're following the heart, we're following the, you know, the medicine, and then they're trying to lead you into this other direction and your alarm bells are going off, right? That's not okay. That's, again, like using spiritual concepts and using whatever divine inspiration to potentially put you in a harmful situation, whether, you know, whether they're realizing it intentionally or not. And there's so, unfortunately, so many examples of this. But I will say any practitioner who is aware and grounded in integrity is not ever going to raise a fuss or bat an eye about you drawing boundaries. Mm-hmm. So boundaries are your friend. And if someone is not okay with you having boundaries with them as a practitioner, then run the other way.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I just remember years ago, I had a client who signed up to work with me for a while and had made, you know, like, it's like a little contract, right? We've made a contract agreement together. And, after so many sessions, I don't really remember. I think she wanted to go and do something else or something. I don't know, but she felt so guilty and like that she couldn't say no to me. Like she couldn't not, you know, come to the sessions or something. I don't remember, but it was, I was so excited for her to, you know, have the experience of us sitting together and her getting to say no to me and getting to say, I am ending this contract and I am saying no. And for her to have that and to stand up and to be empowered to walk away from something that she was just at that moment a no to for whatever reason, I was so excited for her. I was so happy to be able to hold that space for her to say no to me, because I knew she wasn't just saying no to me. She was saying no to all of the people that she had said yes to when she needed to say no, and all of the things that she had gone along with beyond what she needed to do. And I was like, this is perfect. This is the healing that she came for. Mm-hmm. This is what she came for. And I'm excited for that. And, you know, it's like, we get to hold that space for people sometimes, but I don't know, maybe some people don't want to be that space.
Huh?
Some people maybe don't want to be that space, right? They want to be in control. They want to dictate how something's going to occur.
And then let's go back to the whole, like, your nervous system is the answer piece. Like those are people who have a dysregulated and or trigger some nervous system, right? If they're placing, you know, if their conditional sense of safety and worthiness and value upon someone responding to them in a certain way, right? Then they're not regulated either.
Right.
Yeah.
So or it's financial, right? Because people are like, oh, well, I need you to sign up for this thing, or I need you to do this, or... you know, they're afraid of losing money.
Yeah.
You know,
right. And that's also part, you know, it's like, it goes hand in hand with the dysregulated nervous system, right? Like the scarcity consciousness. So really, I mean, honestly, it's really all coming down to like healing your trauma and being able to be in your body and in your discernment in a healthy way on both sides of this equation, in terms of having, you know, for example, me having a red flag about somebody else or another situation, right? Like that's my inner judgment, indicating that that's not healthy or not safe, right? Or indicating that it is healthy or safe. And then, you know, someone on the other side of that being able to be present with someone else's judgment, telling them that for whatever reason, you know, even in your case, Kat, right? Like your client was having a no experience, you know, not for any like unhealthy or boundary violation reason, but just because she was moving in another direction, right? And mm-hmm. So that was her internal judgment, you know, going through an evaluative process and coming to a healed place where it was safe and healing for her to assert a boundary and to move her energy in another direction. And you, as the regulated, aware person that you are, being able to be present and supportive of that and you know, celebrating that, that's really, really beautiful. And that's really where we want to get to, is being able to celebrate judgment, celebrate healthy judgment, and know that judgment, when it is grounded in integrity and regulated nervous system and discernment and assessment, it is a good thing. It is a very, very good thing. And it keeps us safe. It keeps us, you know, it keeps us healthy and happy, and it keeps us working in in service to our own well-being and to our collective well-being.
Mm-hmm.
We love judgment.
Now, I will have to say, because this is important, that a lot of times spiritual people, sensitive, psychic, aware, intuitive, super tapped in, turned on people are feel the heart of someone, feel intentions, feel the highest version of someone, feel the potential of someone, see the good parts of them. Everybody, you know, everybody has good parts. I mean, there's people who have murdered people and are on death row who were loving and kind towards their mother or their sister or their kid or whatever. Like, you know, there's people who were like, oh, that guy was really great. I worked with him for 20 years. I can't believe he killed all those people. Like, you know, so like there are good things in every person. And a lot of times we're really tracking that because we want to see the good in people. We want to be that person. We want to see that. And we often do. And that can actually keep us from seeing some of the things about people that aren't those things. And we can have a felt sense of someone's heart and their intuition, their intentions and their care for some people and not see the whole picture and be blinded in our judgment. And so sometimes it requires a little bit more footwork and, you know, seeing what people are about and a little bit more research and a little bit more patience and waiting, before jumping into something. And
So the piece there that you're talking about is like, that is there 3D action in the world aligned with that heart vibe? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because people can have the best intentions in the world and be, you know, someone can say all the right things and be just the biggest sweetheart when you're, you know, in conversation with them. But then what are they like in their world? What are they like in their lives? And is the action that they're taking, the observable, measurable, how they're moving through the world on a day-to-day basis, is that congruent with the heart vibe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the heart vibe can be like, we can get really overwhelmed by the heart vibe. And that can be really projected onto us. And just look at the, you know, cult leaders and the spiritual leaders that have projected that beautiful heart vibe where people are around them and they're like, whoa, I'm overwhelmed by this felt sense. And yet when upon investigation, there's a lot of stuff that's not good going on. And this happens in all kinds of situations and scenarios, as you know, like whatever it might be. So,
yeah, I want to add in another piece here because there's also like the, I think it's a really interesting phenomenon of like, we're using cult leaders as an example, or people who are in this position of spiritual leadership, whether they're a teacher, a facilitator, guru, whatever, and how they're using this frequency. It's almost like to hijack people's nervous system, right? They're hijacking whatever internal guidance system and love bombing people. Mm-hmm. And then people are getting really like almost brainwashed about it. And so looking at, well, how does that happen if we are in touch with the heart vibe, right? Like, okay, is the heart vibe lying? Is the heart vibe like, you know, is it wrong? Is it all, you know, whitewashing and deception? No, I don't think it is total deception, right? Like that has to be coming from somewhere. And our highest selves are resonating with the highest selves of that person. And that person is able to ping our nervous system on a certain frequency. But the problem happens when we're not congruent within ourselves to be able to run that frequency through the rest of the system and look for, you know, either dissonance or red flags, right? Mm-hmm. So think about, it's almost like, okay, if you're getting the dopamine hits of like, you know, getting love bombed by a narcissist and they're staring into your eyes and telling you that you are worthy and you are loved and they see your highest self and all your light. It doesn't mean that that is wrong. You are those things. You are beautiful. You are worthy, right? Like, yes.
Right. It's totally true. They're totally true about that part.
Totally true. And, you know, your highest self can be just singing and enjoyment and celebration with their highest self. But if it's all on the dopamine level and you're not actually grounded in your body and you're not anchored into your lower chakras, right? Your root, your connection to earth, your connection to your physical safety, your, you know, because the more grounded we are in the lower centers, the more able we are to run those frequencies through the rest of the system to look for bullshit. Right. Yeah. And again, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. And it doesn't mean that on some level, those people don't actually believe what they're saying or what they're doing.
Yeah.
A lot of those people do. A lot of those people are, you know, truly believe that they are, you know, and some part of them is, I will say some part of those people actually is connected to this beautiful infinite source wisdom, because you know what, we all are. And they happen to have an access to it and a way to make it really like tangible and available and share it with other people. But if we're not receiving, it's like the full spectrum. If you're getting this much of the spectrum, it feels a certain way. Oh my God, this much feels amazing. But then the rest of the spectrum can be really convoluted, can be full of, you know, like this is where all the unseen stuff lives, all the trauma, you know, narcissistic personality disorder, abuse, or people taking advantage of, or power over, or, you know, washing over your boundaries or gaslighting you, like all that stuff lives in this other area of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So if they're activating you at this high chakra, run it down through the rest of your life and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll feel good.
And understand that if you have experienced abuse in the past, if you have experienced trauma in the past, that your system is maybe not as fully grounded in those lower centers and able to process information in that way. And it is, you know, activating these higher frequencies, which actually help us to move out of our bodies and out of the very deep discernment that we can have inside of our bodies. And also to say that if you trust someone that you realize you should not have trusted, if you're in a spiritual community for a while and you get out and you're like, oh, wow, that was not the best thing. Any of these things that happen, if you get involved in whatever it is, and then you realize, wow, that organization, because it could be, maybe there's an organization that you see, they're doing really good work in the world. Like they're helping people, they're doing environmental work, they're doing this or that. And then you get involved and then the inner culture dynamics are toxic. And you realize that over time, and you get out, like, there's no need to shame yourself. There's no need to be like, oh, maybe I'm not so intuitive. Maybe I'm not so psychic after all. It's like, no, like all of us, I think, get involved in things and then realize, wow, that was not the thing. And I think kind of over time of having that happen and realizing just because something's very beautiful on the surface and feels good, it might not in the long term be for your highest. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it is for your highest. It's just coming in a very uncomfortable way.
Yeah. Or it's like, yeah, like you said, long, it might not be a long-term thing, but it might be part of an initiatory experience. So yeah, you needed to do that. Like I've been in that position before. Like I've had, you know, involvement with people and with circumstances and organizations that in retrospect, I was like, oh, that was not actually healthy. But I have learned from the experience. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, teacher. Now I get to have the judgment moving forward about how, you know, what integrity looks like and what integrity feels like, and to trust beyond a shadow of a doubt my own response to these inputs of information, because I know what, you know, like I, because I trust myself And I think that's one of the big pieces if we're looking at, you know, kind of wrapping up here in terms of how do we practice healthy judgment moving forward. You know, one of the big pieces we've talked about is regulating your nervous system, unpacking your trauma, you know, moving out of trigger space and releasing hidden trapped emotion and traumas from the body so that we can be in a healthy resonant frequency with these inputs of information. I think there's, you know, I always tend to err on the side of like, it's, you know, start with a stricter boundary and then relax from there if you're not sure, just because that's, you know, I advise people of like, you can always be more boundaried and then remove them. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever in a place of like, I'm not sure, I need more time or I need space or I need to consider, give yourself more cushion time within that considerative evaluative assessment period. It's always okay to throw up more boundaries and then to back them off later.
Yeah. And ask questions, like ask questions. If you're in an organization or working with a practitioner or anything, like you should be able to ask any and all questions that you have and to explore things with someone without just completely giving over your system to them, your body, your mind, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think looking out for you should do this, you need to do this, you have to do this. My guides, your guides are saying that you have to this or that, you know, and this is something that can be common in these dynamics, because especially when you're seeking guidance on something that is spiritual and or energetic, and you're like, I know that something is off about me or about my life or something's going on. And this is a professional person who can see things that I can't see, who's getting information that I can't get, who's like, and the way that they give you that information can, you know, it can make you then take action that you don't really need to take, or you're like, isn't going to be good for you. Like, so just like, check that, because I get a lot of clients who come to me and they're like, oh, this person said this, right? And it, instead of it being something that's supportive and empowering, helpful, and is helping them heal, it's something that's causing a lot of like spin out of their own nervous system and their beliefs, and is creating an unhealthy attachment and need to that person or that community. So watch out if it feels like that the information and guidance you're getting from someone is just causing, is making you more dependent on that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Really important. Awesome.
Yeah.
Other, like how to have healthy judgment?
You know, I think that to understand that, that our fear of disappointing people, mm-hmm. Can be really a big thing. I know that I think we all have that. Like, I don't want to disappoint people. I want people to be happy. I want people to love me, right? I want people to accept me. I want people to, you know, think that I'm a wonderful person. So I think we all have that, right? We all want to be loved and accepted. And, but that can also cause us to step back. And I know that, like recently, even my, saying something to someone of this doesn't feel good to me. Right. And then this person started to, tell me that I was being, you know, judgmental, that I was being, you know, like all of these words that I was being. Right. And so in that moment, I felt like, oh, wow, this feels intense and I'll just back off. Right. I'll just, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe what this person is saying is the right thing. And I, you know, will just kind of, you know, like capitulate my position from there. But I could feel in my body what was right. I just, was also hitting up against you know, those parts, right? We want to be loved. So it's okay to have that experience sometimes of like, oh, I maybe did not hold a boundary that I had before or stand in my integrity in the way that I could have. And that's okay too. You know, it's like, okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Everything's okay.
And also, it's helpful to not care if people like you or not. Just
Yeah. I mean, that is helpful, but I think we all want to be loved, right? We all want to be loved in the world. And that can cause us to do things against our better judgment.
Yes. Awesome. Well, again, we love judgment. And enacting judgment also does not make you bad or wrong. Judgment is your superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you need to say to yourself of like, judgment is my friend. Judgment is my superpower. I have good judgment. Also, that's another, like,
That's a super powerful one. Yeah. I have good judgment I think this is really important, because when something like this happens and you realize, oh my God, this person like took advantage of me, this person, whatever, you question your own ability to make good decisions. You question your own judgment. You start like really, you know, questioning that. And sometimes you'll have to heal yourself in that, and like, okay, no, I do have good judgment.
Yeah. Like reclaiming your judgment. Cause then it's easy to say like, oh gosh, how could I have done that? I'm such a bad judge of character. Or like, do I just really like not know what, you know, what people are thinking or whatever. But you know, if that's something you need to say to yourself and, you know, make your little mantra practice of it, like, I have good judgment and I trust my judgment, right? Like whatever you need to do to set yourself up, like really, it's all about trusting yourself. And it's about seeing yourself and positioning yourself as a reliable, discerning force in your own life. And you know what else? We totally didn't even talk about this, but I'm going to add it in, throw it in as a bonus right now. As soon as you do that, often you find that you become less reliant on other people's judgment and other inputs of information because you trust yourself more.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. You don't have to like constantly be like, oh, I need to call the psychic or I need to call the whoever to be able to get the answer to this, you know, this thing that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can judge for yourself. You can discern. Again, it's like all about that sweet spot of the anatomy of judgment, right? Like that consideration period, getting to consideration and evaluative assessment. If you know that you have good judgment, that you are, you know, consistent and congruent and regulated in your ability to be evaluative about a person or experience or situation, then it is so liberating. It's so liberating. And it's so, you know, it's so freeing. And it's also really attractive to other people, honestly, because, and, you know, not saying that you need to like go, you know, set up shop as your own, like being a mentor, maybe you do, maybe not, but it is like people respond to that because we resonate with truth and integrity. And really that's what you'll be embodying as someone who has good judgment. You're embodying, I trust myself, I'm in alignment with truth and integrity, and I'm able to consistently enforce and act upon the decisions that I make out of my good judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want for you. That's what we want Absolutely. For everybody.
And you know, what I see is that when I come across these things, when I have these experiences, when I, you know, hear about things happening, what I see is that I then get to look at myself more. I get to look at my integrity, my values, my ethics, like who I am and how I stand in the world. And I think that that is something that I'm always looking to get out of this. So if some of what we've said is a little bit of a downer for you and you're like, oh, wow, there's a lot of mess out there. There is a lot of mess out there. So like use the mess in a good way to come back to yourself and, okay, this is how I'm going to be. This is how I'm going to stand differently.
Awesome.
Oh, and one last thing is that we've talked a lot about like people, and there's a whole spiritual aspect of this. So what we want to tell you to do is listen to our episode on discernment, I believe, like spiritual discernment, something like that. And that is really helpful to start because we have judgment here on this plane, but we also have our judgment and our discernment in the spiritual realms, which is really important. So we're going to refer you back to that episode.
Awesome. And then also just take everything that we said here and apply like spirit to it.
Yeah.
Like substitute that word or like spirit guides or, you know, whatever, or energetics. And it's all the same.
For sure. Awesome.
Great. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We are on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Please like, subscribe, send our episodes to people you know who need help or you think would like us. And then in the work, in work stuff, where am I at right now? I'm taking one-on-one people. So if you would like some support in developing your judgment or your spiritual practice or your guidance or whatever, or unpacking your trauma or your nervous system, then go ahead and reach out to me through joyofenergy.com. Kat?
Great. I have opened your channel. If you're seeing this like pretty much immediately, April 9th of 2022 will be the next session of Open Your Channel, which is a 9-week channeling and mediumship course. And of course, we're going to be working with judgment and discernment in the spiritual realms there, and also judgment of ourselves and all of that, but really learning the skills, the tools, the energy practices to be, and you know, very good practitioner in this work, and to connect to the spiritual realms, to receive and to understand these things from a very ethical, integrous space. Oh my gosh.
KatherineBerg.com.
KatherineBerg.com. Find me. It's easy. Okay. All right. Thanks, Michelle. It's good to see you.
Bye.
Bye.